Please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, chapter 5. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, and we'll read the entire chapter. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Now, when we read this chapter through, it's obvious that we have an incredible privilege, through the eyes of the Apostle John, to see some glorious and triumphant pictures that mark this scene in heaven presented to us. Now, what we see here in these pictures is far removed from the experience of the man who was writing this and of the people that he was writing to. We remember that this comes from the pen of the Apostle John. And as he wrote this, he was suffering persecution. He'd been exiled to the island of Patmos by the Roman government. We don't know if it was some kind of forced labor camp or what the persecution exactly was, but here was an elderly man suffering for his service to the Lord Jesus. And the writers that are the readers that he was writing to, the churches described in chapters 2 and 3, these believers were also being greatly persecuted. And along with this outward persecution, we read that they were having great struggles with sin. They were being attacked by the devil. Some of these churches were struggling with very small numbers. Their circumstances were very difficult. Well, God knew what they needed. In the midst of all of their troubles, they needed a sight of heaven. They needed a reminder of the position that their Savior now occupied in heaven. They needed to understand that all of the experiences they were going through was under the sovereignty of the one who was now sitting on the throne. Now, this is what we need as well as we travel through life. In the midst of all of our struggles with sin that are often so grievous, as we deal with the many sorrows that this life brings to our doorstep, as we face that perplexity over the apparent triumphs of evil in this world, it's good for us to open this text and have our eyes focus shifted from what's happening in this life to the scene in heaven. And to be reminded that our Savior is there in His glory, experiencing what He rightly deserves, the worship of all the heavenly host. Now that in and of itself is a great encouragement to the child of God. For even if we haven't yet attained to that glorious experience of heaven, we know that Christ deserves it. And having gone through the sufferings and trials of this life, and having purchased the redemption of His people with His death, to see Him now enthroned in glory is a source of great joy for the believer. Now we're going to spend a couple of weeks using this text to look into heaven, and especially to observe the focus that we find there upon our Lord Jesus Christ. That's much of the experience of heaven, focusing on Christ. This morning we'll consider heaven's focus on the sacrifice of Christ. And in the coming weeks, heaven's focus on the exaltation of Christ and heaven's focus on the worship of Christ. So this morning, note heaven's focus on the sacrifice of Christ. Beginning in chapter 4, this vision that's given to the Apostle John, he starts to present to us this scene of heaven. And as we're brought to look upon the glories of heaven, our focus is brought to the throne, which is the center of heaven, the center of the entire universe. And we see there something of the glory of God and all of the worship that He is being given by heaven's inhabitants. But as we proceed into chapter 5, the focus again narrows, and we begin to look at the right hand of God, which is, of course, His symbol of authority, and there in His right hand, there's a scroll. It's rolled up, it's sealed, it's closed with seven seals. So that's where our focus is taken, to this scroll in the right hand of Almighty God. And there's a cry that goes out from one of the mighty angels to all of the inhabitants of the universe. Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals? Great question. Who is worthy to come to the right hand of God, to open up this mysterious scroll, to break open its seals, unroll it, and then put it into effect? This scroll represents the plan of God for the remainder of this world's history. Someone is needed, someone with authority, who can take that scroll, break it open, and put into effect the plan of God for the ages to come. Initially, there's no response. No one is found throughout the entire universe. No one who is worthy. No one who has the authority to take on this task. And so we see John's response. He begins to weep as he looks upon this scene, thinking about what it represents. To him, it appears to indicate the frustration of God's plan. Will this scroll ever be opened? Will His plan be put into effect? all of a sudden, one of the elders, who's there around the throne of God, announces that a perfect candidate has been found who can take up this job. He's declared to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. In other words, here is someone who is a strong conqueror, a prince who has come from the royal line of David. In other words, he's the Messiah. John looks around to see who this mighty warrior who has prevailed is. And what does he see? There before the throne, a lamb that has been slain. Picture a lamb. Its throat has been slit for sacrifice, and its wool is all covered with its blood. That doesn't look like the picture of a triumphant conqueror. How can such an individual put into effect the plan of God for the rest of history? Well, we remember what this book is. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the manifestation of our Savior in His glory. And here in this fifth chapter, with the focus of heaven upon Christ and His sacrifice, the apostle is telling us that central to the experience of heaven is an emphasis on the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, using the symbols of Old Testament Scripture to describe Him. Here before the throne, the center of the universe, is this great fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrifice. Here is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. We think of Isaiah 53, the lamb that was going to be led to the slaughter for our transgressions. We can think of that declaration of John the Baptist when the Lord Jesus first began His public ministry. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here is the fulfillment of all of that standing before the throne of God in heaven. It is a reminder to us, dear people, that heaven is in no way ashamed of our Lord Jesus Christ and His death. Rather, His death becomes the theme of their praises. They declare the fact of His death, the shedding of His blood, and the accomplishment of redemption by that very act. As the Lord Jesus has purchased for God men and women from every tribe, people, language, and nation. And the fruits of such a death are ultimately or triumphantly proclaimed in verse 10. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. The Lord Jesus has taken these people, He's redeemed them, He's made them into this royal nation to serve the Lord. So from the perspective of the inhabitants of heaven, Christ's death is to be understood as an accomplishment of God's plan to redeem a people for Himself. And so heaven becomes a place that celebrates these great redemptive details. Clearly, the centrality of Christ's work will continue with us through eternity as we worship the Lamb who was slain, as we have the privilege, upon death or upon the return of our Lord Jesus, to gather with all of these people already in heaven and continue this worship of our Savior. Now here's a reminder that what we gather to do this morning is simply a foretaste of what they're already doing in heaven. Think even now, what a glorious thought of all those people in heaven. Saints from the Old Testament, those redeemed by Christ in the New Testament period already, who've gone to be with our Savior, and they're singing the praises of the Lamb, joined with the angels and these other creatures that God has made who inhabit heaven. And what are they doing? They're praising the Lamb that was slain. And what have we come to do this morning as we gather around this table and take up this bread that represents the Lord Jesus in his sacrifice on the cross and how he gave his body to be broken for us, and these cups of juice presenting to us so vividly the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for the forgiveness of our sins? We come to honor our Lord Jesus and acknowledge that in what he did on the cross and his glorious resurrection is all our salvation. It's all our hope. And so even though we're a much smaller group than is gathered in heaven now, and even though our praises, I'm sure, do not match the volume of heaven's praises, yet we're doing the same thing. We're acknowledging the centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ to every person who believes in God and follows the Savior. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Let's bow in prayer.